Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, a comprehensive immigration discussion, how our values get used against us. That segues really nicely to a conversation we have with Gordon Chang. China is going to war. We talk about that. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com, and subscribe to our podcast. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Start a high school or college chapter today at tpusa.com. Become a member. Join our program, charliekirk.com, and click on the members tab. That's charliekirk.com, and click on the members tab. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com. There is this one-liner I hear often. We are a nation of immigrants. We are a nation of immigrants. It's partially true, but it's not totally true. There are distinct types of people that come to a nation. An immigrant is an individual that comes to a nation that is largely already constituted, has laws, has a system of government established, has cities, has a place that already is built. A settler comes to a largely non-established country. A settler comes to a barren land, a place of opportunity, and you have to build something new. So it's more accurate to say that America was first a nation of settlers. When the first pilgrims came to Plymouth Rock, when the first pilgrims came to the colonies, it was a largely non-established country. State constitutions had to be composed. Local governments had to be formed. Traditions had to be established. Where did they get those ideas from? They got them from the biblical canon. They got them from the great books. They got them from what was still bubbling up and is now known as the Western tradition. We're a nation first and foremost of settlers. Settlers that went west. Settlers that went west to the once barren deserts of Arizona and Utah, the barren deserts of Nevada and California, the barren deserts of Oregon and Washington. Now, the way they tell the story is that anyone that was a settler was a colonialist and was a murderer and a terrible person, even though we, the settlers, those people that came and descended from those individuals, built the most decent, prosperous, generous, and greatest civilization and nation ever to exist in the history of the planet. Now, immigrants, of course, can, and they have the potential to enrich a society. No one denies that. Reading Elon Musk's book and studying him closely, I can say that Elon Musk has enriched America. Elon Musk is a unique person. And if you can get an Elon Musk once every 10 years, you're a very blessed country. However, there is this false idealism that has set in, that all immigrants are going to be like Elon Musk, that all people coming to the country are going to embrace Western values and Western traditions. And now we know over the last couple decades that is not the case. Assimilation must be key. It must be core to who we are. And we must also be honest of when you start bringing so many people into the nation that your own citizens are not put first. So any immigration policy must first start with what is best for the people already here, period. Not what is some abstract, false moral goal or aim of, well, we must be generous or we must be benevolent. Those things are nice, but if you do not prioritize your own nation, your own citizenry, then all of it is completely irrelevant. That's number one. What is best for the native born? What is best for the American citizen? This is one of the main arguments one of the superpowers behind Donald Trump's political campaign is America First, is we're going to put our own citizens first. Secondly, running up against some of these kind of core beliefs, when do you then reach the limit? This is why I laugh when some people say, well, you know, I'm an atheist or I'm a secularist. You might think you are, but at some point you have guiding principles that you consider to be good or bad. I want to know what those principles are. And so the people of Chicago or the people in New York, they pride themselves on being open-minded and diversity is our strength and being welcoming. And something that needs to be repeated is, of course, we've gone through the great replacement reality. We know that's happening. Is that the once great cities are becoming third world dumping grounds. And the most evil elites, they are using our own compassion against us. What has been a unique characteristic of our history, being the most generous, the most benevolent, and the most compassionate country ever to exist, that is a core value we are now being taken advantage of. This is used in the trans debate. This is used in immigration especially, which is they use the misapplication of scripture or Christian values and say, well, don't you care for the least of these? Don't you care for this? This is at O'Hare International Airport, completely overrun. This is weaponized fake altruism. And they keep on making you compare up against, well, aren't you compassionate? Don't you love these people? This is at O'Hare International Airport, one of the largest airports on the planet, that is just being completely overrun. It is a dumping ground for the third world. We must be willing to say that we prioritize the homeland first, and I don't care what names you call me. There is nothing compassionate, loving, altruistic to take over O'Hare International Airport, and it gets even worse. At Hamilton High School in New York, this just goes to show how weak the American citizen has become. Where is the breaking point? We don't know. There are schools that are being taken over by illegals. In the city of New York, students are being told that they have to go back to online classes. Why? They have to go back to online classes because illegals are taking over their kids' schools. There are so many foreigners now in the city of New York, so many foreigners in Texas, so many foreigners in Arizona, 12 to 15,000 people a day. They have to take over the social services of American citizens. How is that enriching our country? Are they going to share our values? Are they going to assimilate? You cannot have mass migration at these levels from countries that don't primarily share our values. And this is where the thought crime comes in, everybody. This is why when we used to preference European countries, it worked. Because the European countries had similar books, texts, goals, principles that we in the West share. Blackstone, Locke, the Bible, the principles of the Ten Commandments. You run into major issues when you have mass migration from countries where they don't always have the same values. You run up against a mass assimilation problem. You become a nation of strangers. Now, of course, the people in Martha's Vineyard don't want them. The people of the Hamptons don't want them. And good for them for not wanting them. Because I wouldn't want them in my neighborhood either. But the point, of course, is they're the ones that are designing and they are the architects of these policies. Because these are nothing more than pawns in a massive replacement game. In California, California has lost over a million native-born Americans in the last 18 months. But they are replacing them with a million third-worlders. Immigration can enrich a country. Immigration can also impoverish a country. When was the last time you heard anybody in leadership say that? The way that we have been hypnotized to believe is that immigration is nothing more than a net positive. It can be, but like all things, it can be misapplied, misused. It can be an advantage or it can be suicidal. It is not necessarily good or bad. It's what you do with it. It's how you use it. And in this case, it is being used as a pocket knife on the throat of the American Republic, slowly slitting our throat. We're obsessed with it like a cult, and we're afraid to even call it out because we've been told that diversity is our strength. Hey, everybody, I want to introduce you to the Artillery Tea Company. Artillery Tea is the premium tea for freedom-loving patriots. I drink tea every day, and Artillery Tea Company is the brand that I choose. Why? Their tea is whole leaf for a more full-bodied flavor. Plus, you can brew each bag twice, which gives you 30 cups per tin. They got all the flavors you want: Earl Grey, peach, apricot, green tea, chamomile, mint, and many others. The best part is a portion of all sales is donated to veterans and first responders. Visit ArtilleryTeaCo.com right now and support these guys. Not only do they make the best teas on the market, in my opinion, but you're also supporting veterans and first responders through every single purchase. Right now, they're offering 25% off your first order. So visit ArtilleryTea.com and enter promo code AmericasTea to receive your discount. That's ArtilleryTea.com. Enter promo code AmericasTea to get 25% off your first order for a limited time only. What if I told you that foreigners who live in your land will gain more and more power while you gradually lose yours? They will have money to lend you, but you will have none to lend them. In the end, they will be your rulers. Oh, those aren't my words. That's just one of the last things that Moses said in his farewell address in Deuteronomy 28:43. One of the least appreciated verses of the Torah, where the open border Christian crowd ignores the fact and the context and the weight of what Moses was saying. Moses knew he was not going into the promised land. He was telling the next generation, guys, here are the things that you must be concerned about, the things you must be, a cautionary tale. And as you're about to enter the land of milk and honey, as you're about to continue and establish the nation of Israel, as you're about to go into the land of Canaan, be very careful about the foreigners who live in your land, and they will gain power over you. If every pastor in the country even quoted that verse, we would have a much more balanced immigration conversation in this country. I want to continue the immigration thing, but this is some breaking news. I can't help it. Kanakoa, I follow them very closely on both Telegram and on Twitter. They're terrific. And they've been on this, and apparently the White House visitor logs are public, and you can get them now. It turns out that there were a fair amount of visitors to the White House counsel's office. In fact, there were people in Letitia James' office, and Letitia James, she also visited the White House. Now, she was part of a big party for one of them, but this is starting to become awfully suspicious. You got Letitia James, which, to be perfectly honest, is more explicable than Big Fannie Willis. Let's just be honest. She is the attorney general of one of the largest states in the country. That makes more sense than Big Fannie. But then you also have Nathan Wade. At some point, how many Black law enforcement officers that are going after Donald Trump make their way to the White House counsel's office? I mean, Alvin Bragg is the only one that we're waiting for, by the way. Can we get some subpoenas, everybody? Don't minimize this. Remember how significant it was when we learned that Loretta Lynch, the Attorney General of the United States, left her private jet to go on a private jet with Bill Clinton for 45 minutes on the tarmac of Phoenix Sky Harbor International Airport, something that we only know because of a reporter who tragically committed suicide about a year and a half and 2 years ago, which tends to happen if you report negative news against the Clintons. Poor guy. I actually messaged him on Twitter, and then he killed himself. We only know it because of a single reporter. And he says, oh, we were just talking about golf and grandkids. And then days later, Loretta Lynch comes out, and she says that we are going to pursue no criminal charges against Hill Dog. No criminal charges. Don't minimize how important it is optically and from a narrative standpoint to establish meetings, time, place, and manner, and it puts them in a box. Remember, we're dealing with treacherous snakes. We're dealing with snakes. They're going to try to slither away out of it. Oh, we never talked about this, but then when you have a time, place, and manner. Billable hours. Letitia James. Nathan Wade. Big Fanny Willis. It becomes harder for these serpents in the grass to slither away, to use Orwellian doublespeak, and to lie to us and to gaslight us. It becomes nearly impossible. And that's what happened. Remember, Loretta Lynch and Bill Clinton, they never wanted that meeting to be made public. They thought they would get away with it. But a single reporter, God bless him, he killed himself. He reported on the whole thing. He wrote a book about it, too. He wrote a whole book about it, and no one wanted him to publish this story, and he did it anyway, and really sad, tragic story. And he goes and he says, hey, these guys met, and it blew up the whole narrative. Bill Clinton and Loretta Lynch never wanted that to become public because, at the very least, it became a number one news story in the fall of 2016 that Hillary Clinton, via her husband, Bill Clinton, was still running the government, and Loretta Lynch was either giving a heads up, coordinating, and you're trying to tell me that the Attorney General of the United States went on a private jet and just talked to a former president whose wife is currently running for the president, is under criminal investigation by the FBI and the Department of Justice for destroying classified information, and they're just talking about golf and grandkids? It's a lie. Everyone knew it was a lie. And the fact we knew about the meeting was the thread, was the cause set in motion that led towards the inevitable political deterioration of Hillary Clinton in the fall of 2016. We are onto something, everybody. Republicans in Georgia and in Congress need to get off their fanny and go after Fanny. Are you feeling overwhelmed this Christmas season? Trust me, I get it. November and December demands, end of your tasks, holiday preparation, gift shopping, and family get-togethers, they can be a relentless source of stress. Well, breathe easy because Stress Guardian is here to help. It's the latest scientific breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the geniuses behind Magnesium Breakthrough. It's packed with a blend of 14 aptogenetic herbs that help reduce your stress naturally, granting you control over Christmas stress. With daily use, Stress Guardian becomes your personal shield against seasonal tension, enhancing both your mental and physical well-being. Say goodbye to just surviving this holiday season. Thrive instead with Stress Guardian. To get a head start on your holiday stress, go to stressguardian.com/Kirk and use promo code KIRK10 for 10% off your first order. Bioptimizers is so confident in their products that they offer a risk-free 365-day money-back guarantee. Visit the secret to peace on earth this holiday season. Go to stressguardian.com/Kirk now. Joining us now is Gordon Chang, author of a very important book I want to direct your attention to, China is Going to War, by Gordon Chang. Gordon, thank you for joining the program. The top story I want to have you navigate is the Taiwanese election. When is it and what is the significance here?
The election is on the 13th of this month, Saturday, and we have three candidates. One of them who is leading is the pro-Taiwan candidate, Vice President William Lai of the Democratic Progressive Party. And the two others are sort of pro-China. And the more important of those two is Ho Yen-Yi of the Kuomintang, the KMT or Nationalist Party. That's the party that wants good relations with China, that wants to integrate the Taiwan and Chinese economies. And when you have that integration, that can only benefit the Communist Party in China. So there's a lot on the line here.
Yes. So is there suspicion that one of these parties is actually an attaché of the Chinese Communist Party, almost an intelligence asset?
Well, the Kuomintang and the Communist Party, they fought a civil war, which Chiang Kai-shek basically lost in 1949. Both of them believe in one China, that Taiwan is part of China. Now, they have different views of what one China is, but there are many in the KMT who basically want to surrender to Beijing. Now, the good news, Charlie, is that most people in Taiwan don't want that. I mean, you can very, very few. But the few who do want it are in powerful positions in the KMT. The thing about Taiwan is it's a democratic polity. And you have basically no less than 60%, usually about 80% of people in self-identification surveys say they're Taiwanese only. You never have more than 7% and usually under 5% in these surveys who say they are Chinese only. And so the Taiwanese, they want good relations with Beijing. You know, everybody does in a sense. But they'd say, look, we are not China. So even if one of the pro-China candidates gets elected on Saturday, they'd be very hard to surrender Taiwan. But that's not to say there's not going to be trouble, because Beijing is going to basically is demanding annexation now. And whoever is elected, whether it's William Lai, the vice president, or whether it's one of these other two, Beijing is going to just going to huff and puff, and it is going to create tension. So this is going to be a rough period, whoever gets elected on Saturday.
Is there, there are rumblings that the Chinese Communist Party, based on the results, might make a move for Taiwan. Can you walk through, though, how that it's a little bit oversimplified to say that? It's a geographically tricky island, huge cliffs. It is difficult to do an amphibious ground invasion. It wouldn't necessarily, it sounds easier than it actually is. Do you see any, first walk through that, and then secondly, do you see any evidence that the Chinese Communist Party might try a military maneuver based on the results of the election?
I'll answer your second question first. Yes, I think that they might actually do so. Everything you said is right. There, you know, the main island of Taiwan is about 110 miles away from mainland China. And it's a big body of water. It is difficult to navigate. It would be a combined air, land, sea operation, something that China has never done in its history. But there are islands of Taiwan that are no more than a mile and a half, 2 miles from Chinese ports. There's Kinmen and Matsu. Some people worry that China, instead of being able to gobble up everything, might decide to grab one of these outlying islands, which would be a relatively easy maneuver for them to do. Right now in China, China's a mess. It's not just that the economy is grinding down. The political system is in turmoil. We don't know exactly what's going on, Charlie, because the system's opaque. But we're seeing symptoms that do not occur unless there is intense distress. So I don't think that the Communist Party at this point would launch a combined air, land, sea operation, but it could very well stumble into war because Xi Jinping now has, I think, a lot of domestic incentives to create trouble abroad. And if there were trouble of any sort, the Communist Party is in no mood to act reasonably with regard to anybody else, including the United States.
So you mentioned political turmoil. Can you elaborate on that? It's really hard to get accurate information out of China. I mean, Xi Jinping is projecting strength internationally. What sort of domestic turmoil is happening in the mainland of China?
A couple things. So, for instance, the former foreign minister Qin Gang, a favorite of Xi Jinping, was removed last year. Some people say that he has committed suicide. Other people say he was executed, but he disappeared. Highly unusual for someone who was a Xi Jinping protege. The defense minister, a guy named General Li Shangfu, was last seen in public on August 29th. He was not formally removed until October 24th. His replacement was not named until December 29th. We can't explain those long delays. In the China's rocket force, which is the branch of the China's military, which controls almost all the country's nuclear weapons, the top two commanders were relieved in the summer. 70 rocket force people have been disappeared in the last half of last year. All sorts of other prominent people have been under a cloud. And the most recent rumor is that a guy named Liu He, who was the guy who negotiated with the Trump administration on the Phase One trade deal in January of 2020, he's been missing now for 3 weeks. And people say he's detained. We can't confirm that. But the point is, I can go on for about an hour to tell you about all the people who have either died or disappeared under very unusual circumstances. That means the political system is clearly intense infighting, but we don't know. As you say, it's an opaque system. We don't know exactly what's going on, but we know that it is serious.
So the big fear, as you have told me and others, is when the Chinese people start to get anxious and they start to rumble. Are we seeing signs of that? So we're obviously seeing, as you have perfectly put through, the kind of elite mystery of disappearances. Are we seeing the rank and file? Are we seeing the middle 500 to 600 million people that are not in abject poverty, but they own a little bit and they go to work? They are the make or break population of China. Are they starting to view the ruling Chinese Communist Party negatively? Are we seeing any developments in that regard?
We've seen a fair amount. So beginning last of October and beginning through January, there were a series of extraordinary protests in China. Some of them, we had people in Shanghai expressing revolutionary sentiments, also in Beijing about taking down the Communist Party. But in general, we know that people are extremely unhappy. And it was not just the COVID lockdowns. What we're seeing right now are China's people are basically opting out of society. We know that because a lot of them are coming into our country through the open southern border. So that shows that Chinese people have given up on their country. Part of it is because the economy, which was once growing at 8, 9, 10% a year, is probably not growing now. And the property market is collapsing. Property is important, Charlie, because 70% of the wealth of the Chinese people is tied up in property. And that property values have been plummeting. And that has created a sense of gloom and pessimism across Chinese society. As they say, kids are laying flat. In other words, just getting out of society. The phrase that is popular these days is, quote, let it rot. And that tells you how the Chinese people, and especially people in, you know, their 20s, are viewing their own society.
So that's an important point. The youth of China, are they starting to rumble for regime change? What does that even look like? It's such a totalitarian country.
Yeah, it's not so much regime change. Although, you know, in November of last year, yeah, there were regime change protests. But it's more just opting out of society. And I'll give you a statistics which gives you a sense of where they are. In March of last year, when the official unemployment rate was 19.7% for people in the 16 to 24 age cohort, it was really 46.5%, according to a professor from Peking University, which is sort of like China's Harvard, because 16 million people in that cohort had decided that they could no longer look for work because there was no work available. So you're talking almost half of the people in the most productive age group just decided they were out of society. And that number is probably worse now because there's been severe deterioration in the Chinese economy from last March to today. So right now, you know, it's just a sense of gloom. And, you know, one of these indicators of gloom is that the Chinese people are just not wanting to have children. They are that pessimistic.
Traditional media is crumbling. Why? Because they're hiding something, something big. People are realizing they're being lied to left and right, even by institutions they thought they could trust. But you've known the truth all along. You also know that the time to prepare for what's coming is right now. Get started by going to MyPatriotSupply.com. There you'll save $200 on an essential 3-month emergency food kit from My Patriot Supply. Over the years, My Patriot Supply has helped millions of American families prepare for emergencies, and yours should be next. Sealed inside ultra-durable packaging, their delicious meals last up to 25 years in storage and provide over 2,000 calories daily. Eat right when things go wrong with these 3-month emergency food kits from My Patriot Supply. With $200 in savings, you can get enough for each family member. They deserve your protection. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. Order by 3 p.m. for free day shipping. That is free same-day shipping. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. So, Gordon, let me ask you, what should the American policy be to exploit some of these weaknesses and to try and continue to be the world superpower? What you're saying is that there are some domestic turmoil issues, there is confusion, there is discord, there's disharmony. What can we do from a policy standpoint, economically, strategically, to exploit these weaknesses?
Well, we should cut off the blood supply to a regime that means us harm, which means that we should not be allowing investment into Chinese stocks. We should be cutting off technical cooperation arrangements between the United States and China. And to the greatest extent possible, we should be stopping trade. We should be trading with our friends rather than with an enemy that has actually not only declared a quote-unquote people's war on us, but also has actually killed Americans with fentanyl and with COVID. So we need to stop the money that is going to supporting the Communist Party. And we have a limited opportunity to do that, Charlie. So the question you asked is the critical one, and it's the one that every American policymaker should be asking at this particular moment.
Isn't one of the tricks, or one of the challenges, I should say, the manufacturing is part of it, but also the banking, gaming, casinos, and sports, telecom, media. That's a huge issue, and we get so fixated on textiles that they make our t-shirts and stuff. That's actually offshoring slowly to Vietnam, to Laos, to Cambodia, to Nicaragua, to Honduras. That window is closing with or without pressure from the West. The issue, though, is how many American elites have their billionaire lifestyle tied to cheap money flows from the Chinese Communist Party?
A lot of them, and not all of them are Democrats. Some of them are Republicans. And some of the people in the American political establishment who, you know, propagate CCP narratives are unfortunately Republicans. So we've got a problem in both political parties. So what we need to do is end to make sure that they don't have incentives to support the communist regime. And that means cutting these economic ties. You know, one other thing that we should be doing, and we should be doing this regardless, we should be getting, you know, the Communist Party out of our country. So Chinese nationals shouldn't be owning land, especially farmland in our country. They shouldn't be involved in our banking sector because that is the core of the American economy. You know, we can go on and on. And we have just allowed China to establish these relationships deep into the United States. And we just need to start cutting them one by one as quickly as we possibly can, because we know that China means us harm.
This guy, Chen Tian Chao, owns 198,000 acres of timberland in Oregon. Did you see this story, Gordon, that came out the other day? He's the second largest foreign owner of U.S. land. And it's not just that he owns, you know, barren land in eastern Oregon that doesn't do much. This is highly productive, valuable production of timber, which is a core industry in Oregon and in America. Where did we get so screwed up where we allow foreign adversaries to buy up our strategic minerals and advantages?
Yeah, that's an important question. You know, no American can own a square inch in China. It's just not legally permitted. So why do we allow Chinese nationals to own, you know, critical U.S. resources? Why do we allow them to own any resources of our country? This is just an issue of reciprocity. And the night now is becoming an issue of necessity.
That is the theme. They use our own values against us, whether it be with immigration, whether it be with economics. We pride ourselves on being this open society and being a bastion of free marketeering. And the bad guys, they then push what might be an admirable quality in some sense to the limit, and they invert it as a tool of suicide and take advantage of us, and they call us chumps along the way. Thank you so much, Gordon. Great work. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Charlie.
It's an important takeaway, everybody. We don't have time to build it out properly, but the bad guys use our core values against us. Oh, you're for freedom of speech? Then aren't you for drag queens gyrating in front of kids in libraries? Oh, you're for an open society? Why wouldn't you want a Chinaman to come in and buy all this farmland in Oregon? Oh, you're for generosity and compassion? Why wouldn't you want a bunch of third worlders flooding your airports? They use our own values and push them to limits where they no longer become advantages. They become impediments. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.